All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. As we do every Friday around this time, our main man, former Titan receiver, former Houston Oiler receiver, and best friend of the show, our good friend Chris Sanders. Chris, Merry Christmas. How are we today, buddy?
Man, I'm actually doing pretty good, running around trying to do some Christmas shopping that I never do. So I'm just giving it my all. I'm giving it one for the Gipper, buddy.
Two words, gift cards.
Gift card, yeah, it is crazy, man. What you gonna give me for Christmas this year?
Something I got you last year, a big old kiss on the cheek.
No, man, you got a Jefferson mustache. It won't work, man. It won't work.
Hey, earlier
he's got you the complete collection to Judge Judy.
That's right, man.
Yeah, that's actually my show now is Press My Luck, so I love that show.
Press, what is Press My Luck?
You don't remember that show?
Oh,
no whammies! No whammies! Come on, man! No
has it come back, or is this the old show?
Yeah, there's a new. I think there is a new version.
It's a new one.
Oh, okay.
It is a new. Yeah, it is really, really, really good.
See, me and you and Chase and Dr. Crane and maybe Teron need to go on Family Feud.
Oh man, we would tear that whole show down. Number one. I mean, it would be so much fun, and I think we'll actually win because you got TD that got the smarts, I got the looks. And you guys got the body, so we're good to go, man.
We would lose everything. Hey, real quick, we had Rod Reed on at 12:30,
oh, yeah.
Father of Marcel Reed. And we've asked this before, but to see Marcel Reed, Chris, I mean, look, you know that young man that went through NBA.
Yes.
To see him on this stage tomorrow, college football playoff, and taking on Miami, only game going on at that time. What was that like, watch that young man come through NBA?
Man, he's just got the it factor. And I remember when he came in as a rookie, as a freshman, and he weighed maybe about 94 pounds. I mean, his helmet was big, his shoulder pads were big, but then there was one game to where, you know, our other quarterback was struggling, our senior quarterback was struggling, and he just went in there like he's done it before. He went in there, threw a 60-yard pass, and then scrambled for 25 yards and got a touchdown. So when I saw that, and I watched him handle the pressure situation, it just shows you, man, this guy's going to be something special, and he developed into that.
We're talking to Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver. Do you know, when you have a situation where, all right, you see a team on the schedule like the Kansas City mm-hmm. Chiefs, you know what they are, and then all of a sudden their season doesn't go the way that everybody thought, and the quarterback is now out for the season, so you got a different quarterback. Is it easy to go, you know, let your mind wander and say, oh, well, ooh, okay, we got this. I mean, this isn't the same Chiefs team. But to me, the Titans can't afford to think that way because they're not that good.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, it doesn't have the same oomph to it because, you know, you got Mahomes out, you got Kelsey that's arguing it at everybody, and you have a Tennessee Titans that, you know, their record is really, really bad. But here's the thing that you got to understand, too, is guys are fighting for their jobs. You got guys that are auditioning for jobs next year and auditioning for this team next year. So it's going to be a hard-fought game. Jeffrey Simmons is going to come out and play well. But at the end of the day, we always talk about guys being a professional, and being a professional is not just finishing a sprint or tapping somebody on the back, is doing it each and every day. So now you got a game to where you have no oomph. You know, Mahomes is out. No guys are going to the playoffs. You're going to really see what professionalism is because you're going to see guys are going to go out and work hard regardless of what the records are.
All right, with that being said, all right, so, you know, we talk about these guys putting stuff on tape heading into 2026 going out there. You go back mm-hmm. now to Cam Ward. Look, there's no pressure, right, on Sunday? I mean, you go out there, you got three games left. Right. I mean, I don't know. Look,
it's still a little pressure because everything that he does, everybody wants to see, is he growing or not? I mean, because if you look at last week, even though he threw two touchdowns, everybody's talking about the pass he missed to Van Jefferson. So he's consistently under the microscope. He's consistently, you know, everybody's making sure that he improves because even though you're not going to the playoffs, even though the record is bad, people still want to see, are you improving and you're trusting the process? So, yeah, the pressure's on him every single game, every single practice, and everything that he does.
All right, so last night I got to listen to the Rams-Seahawks game on the radio.
Oh my God.
But then this morning I went back and I watched the YouTube clip version of everything. Matthew Stafford and Sam Darnold had all day to throw the football.
Man.
I'm telling you, you put Matt Stafford and Sam Darnold behind this Titans offensive line, they look like Cam Ward. I don't know why people can't see this.
You have to see it because the thing about it is when you don't have time and you don't feel comfortable in the pocket, you're going to make rational and bad decisions. If you look at Stafford and those guys and Darnold, I mean, they can go through their whole read progression. They can say, okay, the first guy's not open, the second guy's not open, I can throw it to my swing guy. But if you look at Cam Ward, he has to get the ball that quick. Why? Because you have the defensive end and his mustache. So I don't think it's fair to compare to what he's doing, because the offensive line, no disrespect, the Tennessee Titans line is not very good. But you have the Stafford and Darnold, their offensive lines are great. So you just can't compare. Why? Because it's not fair, because offensive line guys are doing terrible.
How much of it, too, Chris, is the scheme? I hear you and Derek always use the phrase scheming guys open, and that is something that a lot of these, you know, good offensive coordinators with the right O-line and the receivers that can make the plays. I mean, how much is that going to be important with whatever this new coaching staff looks like to be able to scheme some of these guys, you know, whether it's Iron Manor or DK or whoever they bring in, open?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that you got to do is kind of like this. Just imagine you're in a 2x2 set, and just say that DK's the number one on the outside, and Alex's the number two. So what you would probably do is know that it's a quarter coverage, to where I will put the number one guy on a hitch and the number two guy running the post, because the safety's going to come up and the post is going to be open. So that's when you talk about scheming and making sure guys get open. Or you may have a situation to where you have four guys doing verts. You're going to 2x2. You got four guys doing verts. Oh, three guys doing verts, and you have one guy running a shallow cross. So those are the things that you can do to scheme to where those guys can get open, and that's what you have to do as offensive coordinator, but also as a receivers coach.
And then you need time to throw the ball.
Yeah, you have to have time, because
right.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, because the thing about it is if you don't have enough time to throw the football and you don't have enough time to go through your read progression, you're not going to make rational plays, because I don't think it's fair to where, you know, we're evaluating this guy, Cam Ward, because some of the throws that he's making. Because if you look at the pass that he threw to Van Jefferson, the reason why he couldn't do it is because he couldn't set his feet, because he was afraid that he was going to get hit. So you just got to look at it through a fine-tooth comb and make sure you're looking at it the right way.
Exactly. And that's why people are like, well, I'm out on him. He's no good. I mean, honestly, try to do all that within 4 seconds and try not to get your head knocked off. I'd go back when he had time to throw at Miami.
Yes,
he was
absolutely
great. Any quarterback who gets time to throw the football is good. He's got a hell of an arm. He's a smart kid.
Yep.
And here's what I like about him, too. He doesn't complain.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, just imagine, I don't know if it's about 6 or 7 years ago when Tom Brady came here. Tom Brady's one of probably the best quarterback of all times, but Mike Vrabel blitzed him like crazy through the A&B gap, and he looked like he was a rookie. Why? Because he didn't have enough time to throw the ball. He didn't have enough time to go through his read progression. And then you have a situation with Cam. Everybody like, oh, he missed Van Jefferson. He's terrible. He should have threw it wide open. The reason why he didn't have enough time to throw it wide open is because he was afraid that somebody was going to hit him in the mustache. So you just got to make sure you evaluate it the right way, because you have two different situations and two different offensive lines.
Oh, I totally agree. And let me ask you this.
Sure.
There's a big thing this week about Cam Ward wants to have a little insight on the new head coaches. I got no problem with him talking to candidates coming in. Why do we have a problem with this?
See, it's not just about, okay, I want him, I don't like him. It's because you got to have your head coach and your offensive coordinator on the same page. They got to have the same mindset. They have to have the same eyes, because I'm going to give you a perfect example, and this is no disrespect. When you had Jerry Rome coaching Steve McNair, they didn't get along and they didn't see eye to eye. So that's why Steve McNair's career didn't really take off. But once he got Les Steckel, somebody that was an offensive coordinator that could talk to him, that explained to him, and be patient with him, that's when his game took off. So when you have Cam Ward, you want to talk to a guy to say, okay, I get along with this guy. I respect this guy. I want him to teach me the right techniques. But also, we have the same eyes. And it's a situation like this. Just imagine they're in a game, and, you know, the offensive coordinator or the head coach doesn't see something on the defense, but Cam does. He makes the check. Why? Because they have the same eyes, and that's what you want with the next guy coming in.
Thank you. I mean, they're not getting rid of Cam Ward. Let's stop all that.
No.
That's nonsense talk. And then, I got no problem with if four or five coaches come in and say, hey, what's your philosophy? What are you going to do? He's not making the decision.
See, that's the key. It's what's your philosophy? You know, you want to do what he did at University of Miami when he was at, you know, University of Washington State. You want to have him to be comfortable how he was in those two places. And if you get a guy that comes in here and starts screaming, and I would do it my way, and if you don't like it, hit the highway, you're going to have a quarterback and you're going to lose him. You don't want to lose your quarterback. You want to bring somebody in that builds him up with confidence, that builds him up with space confidence and faith, but also teach him the proper schemes, how to go through your read progression, how to look off your receivers, how to do, you know, things that you are capable to doing as a top-notch quarterback. That's the kind of guy you want to bring in, not a guy just, it's my way, no or no way, and if you don't do it, you can hit the rope. Man, that ain't coaching. That's been a sorry coach. It's filling your guy with confidence and make him special on the field. That's what we're looking for.
He is Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver. Chris, I want to say Merry Christmas to you and the family. We'll be off,
for you too,
obviously,
man.
Next week, but just appreciate you, and we look forward to new things in the new year.
Absolutely. Love you guys so much, and you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, man. Y'all take care.
You too. Chris Sanders joining us here on the program, Forever Titans wide receiver and a part of the pregame show as well, which will be Sunday at JBJ's downtown. Big Joe, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason getting you ready for Titans and Chiefs. We'll react to some of that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on this Friday, 102.5 The Game. I never know where Dr. Grain's going to go when it comes to the music.
Dr. Crane, you get a dollar. What movie is this from?
Great question. I don't want a dollar.
No, you do. Everybody wants a dollar. It's from Footloose.
Okay. Well, you're not trying to make me holler.
What?
I get what you're trying to do, Joe. I follow your methods.
It's a question about what movie is this song from.
Well, it's not. I don't know the movie. You said Footloose. I didn't know. So
you never heard
do
of the
you
movie
know
Footloose?
The movie Footloose?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I watched it in grade school.
Okay.
What do you like reports?
Who's in Footloose?
I don't know.
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, isn't that the? No, it's
no, 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 no. Isn't the what? Please go.
No, I'm good.
No, no. Tell us.
I got it mixed up with Dirty Dancing.
It's easy to confuse those two.
Two of them. Nobody puts Dr. Crane in a corner, right?
That's right.
Oh, if I'm in a corner, guess what? I'm only going forward. Watch out.
God Almighty. Yeah, big weekend plan, buddy.
I got a lot of my family coming in, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
So pumped.
You're making pizza?
No. Saturday morning, normally do like a family Christmas breakfast at my uncle's place in Fairview, so this will be fun.
Oh, nice. Do you make the sauce?
No, it's not an Italian breakfast. It's just, you know, hash brown, casserole, biscuits, sausage. My uncle makes this sausage bread. It's pretty good. He rolls it like a regular loaf of bread. But it looks like a cinnamon roll, but with sausage in it. So, yeah.
Oh, good. By the way, how was Snickers? What was your
skillet?
Skillet.
Yeah, I got about half the fridge left, so we're good.
Does that stuff go bad? I mean, what's like the expiration date on your pig?
If you freeze it, it's fine. Just freeze the meat.
That is
what she said.
I'm so sorry.
No,
to
you're
all
not.
Those driving on I-24, 40, 65. We apologize, but not really.
It's just every time I grab, you know, some sausage out of the freezer, it reminds me of Austin Powers when he did that cryotherapy thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Where he lost his mojo?
Yeah, and he gets out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. What I remember.
All right. Be careful when you open the freezer and grab your sausage. Just be careful. All right, if you don't mind there. Especially with family in town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chase, can I take that comp day now?
True. Yeah. You can.
Southwest. Want to get away.
Have you seen this video? We haven't talked about this yet. I think it's hilarious. This video of it's like a school pageant or whatever, and they're singing Rocky Top, and there's a kid in the back.
Is that that little girl?
No, it's a guy, a boy.
Okay.
That's a Georgia fan, and he's just shaking his head. He's refusing to sing it.
Won't sing it?
And like, it's gone viral, and everybody's like, man, it just means more.
Oh,
this is
yes.
College football. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, how old is the kid? 10,
he
maybe?
He looks like probably, 10. Somewhere in there. And, I mean, he's got, like, arms crossed, and he's just shaking his head like, nope, I am not singing this song.
I don't blame him at all. I would not do it either. Good for them. I also want to say a very thank you last night to the Rams and Seahawks. Listen to the game on the radio. It restored my faith in the National Football League. After I watched the highlights this morning, that was one of the best football games in the last 10 years. Easily.
Yeah.
Teams going for two, scoring, everything going on last night.
Yeah, so I knew, at the end, I'm watching the end, and in my head, I'm thinking, okay, L.A. scored. If Seattle scores, I'm going for two.
Yes.
Because otherwise, this is going to end in a tie.
Right.
And, you know, one, did you think it was an interception? Do you think Stafford threw a pick?
I don't know. That's a tough one.
I think it was close, but I think they got it right because I think the ball moved too much.
Okay.
And I can see that. I've always kind of considered if the ball moves a lot.
It does. Right.
It's not a catch. You don't tuck it in
there. You're right.
Right. So I think they got that right. But, no, I loved that decision.
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely. Just go for the win at this point.
You're on the 3-yard line. You got your best 11 out there. Go for the win. All these coaches who kick it and want to tie and get, you know, play defense. I mean, just go. You got your guys out there. Go for it and make it happen. That was a great football game. They were hitting hard, great plays, big explosive plays. It restored my faith in the National Football League because a lot of these games are terrible. Not a lot. About 80% of them are terrible in the NFL. That last night was one of the best football games. Listening to it was even better because I was visualizing what was happening because I had to work last night. So I was listening on the radio, and it was just great. And see it today on the clips was like, all right, this was great. Good for them. And the Seahawks won 38-37 last night. I saw your thing about the Seahawks uniforms. Not a fan.
Yeah, well, that was Ricky. To me, they look like Oregon. They looked like Oregon. I like the helmet. Like, the helmet's cool.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, they look like the Ducks.
Because I thought they were. I like the old Seattle. Sure. All this isn't, like, doing it for me. So, I think that's cool. I think the Rams looked good last night. I just thought that was really a good football game, fighting for playoff spots now. Now they're both teams are 11-4 and coming down the wire, man. One of those two teams going to get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I think so. I mean, right now, so Seattle now has the lead. They're 12-3.
Oh, they're 12-3. Yeah,
they're 12-3. So they've both clinched a playoff spot. From what I can tell, yeah, they both clinched a playoff spot, and the Rams can still win the division. But right now, the Seahawks not only have the division, but they have the number one seed in the NFC.
So the Rams are 10-4. Were the Rams 11-4?
11-4.
Okay. All right. Well, that was good, man. Just everything about that game last night was just the suspense and all that went on with that. Thank you. Thank you, Seattle and Los Angeles.
So let me ask you this, and we can answer this on the other side. Because we have this debate every year when there's a really good division and it's a stacked division. But, like, you know, whoever doesn't win between Seattle and L.A., is going to be a wild card, so they're going to be the 5th seed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't answer this after the break. Do you think they should finally do what the college football playoff did and seed on record and not on just divisions? We'll talk about that.
There we go.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Marner in motion. Darnold throws. Caught for the 2 points. Eric Sauber. They throw to a guy who hadn't made a catch or was targeted all night long. What a game.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. So that was Uncle Al last night on Thursday Night Football.
Was he paying attention last night?
I think so.
Okay.
It's going to be weird when there's no Al to call games anymore, but seems like he's still going strong. So I asked you, is it time for the NFL to, you know, redo how they seed the playoffs? And, you know, now it is they seed with the divisions 1-4, and then you have 3 wild cards in each conference. And what ends up happening is you have a team that doesn't win their division that has a better record than some division winners, and then they got to go on the road and get punished for not winning the division, a la Minnesota a few years ago.
Yeah.
And look, I can sit here and I can say, well, win more games and win your division. That's fine. But I do think that when it comes to the playoffs, you should seed the best 7 teams in order. So I'm in favor of just a straight seed.
You answered my question.
Okay.
Win more games.
Yeah, well, I figured it. I figured that was going to be your answer.
Win it. Win the division. I'm tired of this. Let's get you in here because it didn't go well for you over here. Win your games. Win the division.
But you do win games. Like, L.A.'s 11-4. They've won 11 games. That's a
Okay.
That's a hell of
Should've won last night.
Okay.
Tough tattoo. Right? I mean, I'm just saying we get to all
okay,
this.
All right. But again, why is it fair that Tampa Bay, that could very well win their division with a losing record, have a higher seed than Los Angeles that is in a different division?
Because you're in the other division. I see the argument. I'm not giving it. Next year, what if it's Tampa and Carolina? And they're both 13-4, and then the Rams are going to get it. It's cyclical, man. It always changes. It always goes on. It's the way it's meant to be. And that Clark Lee, I have the utmost respect for Clark Lee because what he said after the college football playoff. Remember what he said?
That we had to win our games.
Had to win our games. God bless you, Clark Lee, for understanding
what it is. I get
it.
I get it. I get both sides of this argument. But, like, I think if they went ahead and changed it, which I know has been on the table the last year or so, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Okay. Now, this is an argument in hockey as well? In the
the thing with hockey is – so it used to they're the opposite. So it used to be they would seed 1 through 8.
Okay.
Divisions didn't matter. It was just they seeded 1 through 8. Now they do go by division, and so the top 3 teams in each division get into the playoffs, and then they have 2 wild cards in each conference. But the way that's set up is they basically have 2 and 3 in each division play each other, and then 1 plays wild card 2 and 2 plays wild card 1.
Okay.
So it's still essentially 1 plays 8, 2 plays 7 if you're looking at it from that realm. But then you got 2 teams that are closer together if you're the 2 or the 3 seed playing each other.
And then
they don't reseed after the first round. So then it sets up where you have potential conference championship matchups in the second round.
What was it like in 17 with the Preds when they made it? Was it the old way?
No, I don't think so. It might have been.
Because they played the Blackhawks, who were number one. And then were the Blues?
Well, because the next year when they won the President's Trophy, I mean, that was the whole – everybody was griping about it because they got Winnipeg in the second round.
Right.
Which – that should have been a conference championship matchup. I think it was that way. I think it's been this way since the lockout.
Okay. Well, that was a fun time back then, but that run. Yeah. It's the way the things are. Remember one year the NFC West had a 7-9 team made the playoffs? But that's why you got the divisions like that. Like, I'm watching the AFC North between the Ravens and the Steelers. I think that's cool. Those teams are battling out for that one spot. Only one team's going to get in the playoffs. That's because the division, those teams are in there together. The records aren't that great. One team is, 8-6, the other 7-7. So that's cool like that. I don't mind that. Shoehorning people back into playoffs. Just win your games, man. End of the day, win your games. Fun fact, by the way, the Memphis uniforms on fire today. Absolute fire.
Oh, I like those.
We're down in NC State.
Who is that?
Man, it was Memphis and the guy and the Priscilla Presley Bowl down there in Tampa today. They look good. No, so I get what you're saying, but look, win the games. That was a huge win last night for Seattle, man. That was really good. It was a fun game. But the Rams are going to be right there the whole time. If they meet up in the playoffs again, don't be surprised.
So Max Herz just sent this to me, and I'm going to read this verbatim because I know you're going to love this sentence. If the NHL season ended today – the 2 and 3 best record in the league would play in the first round, and that would be Dallas and Minnesota.
Okay.
Which Dallas has 51 points, Minnesota at 47. Dallas is 23-7-5, Minnesota 21-9-5, and they would play in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the rules, but like I hate those rules.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I look at it, so right now. Let me pull up.
Didn't the NBA get away with that? They went to just conferences now.
Yeah, I'd get rid of divisions. I hate divisions. I think just do straight conferences.
And have the top 8 go to the playoffs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our top, what is it now, 7? Yeah.
In NHL? I don't know.
No, in football.
Yes.
So, okay, so change it to 8. I mean, you got 32, whatever. I mean, you would then have half the teams make the playoffs. But that's what hockey does. That's what I think basketball does.
Okay.
So you have 16 teams make the playoffs, 8 from each conference. But like if they seeded, if the NHL, if you just looked at it by conference right now, in the West, Colorado is number 1, San Jose is 8th. So you would have Colorado play San Jose, Dallas would play the Kings, Minnesota would play Edmonton, and then 4 or 5, Vegas and Anaheim. And that would be your matchup.
Okay. That's not nothing wrong with that.
I think I want to say 2017 might have been the last year they did it this way. Now that I'm thinking through it.
I just remember it was 1 versus 16 because somebody did the whole thing. In
well, because remember – or no, it was the year before. It was the year before because, remember, Nashville had to go to Anaheim in the first round, and then they went to San Jose in the second round.
In 16? I thought San Jose beat him in the championship.
It won the championship. It was the second round.
Was it?
Yeah, but they went 7. They went 7 games with Anaheim.
Right.
7 games with San Jose. Lost in game 7 in San Jose.
Right.
Shea Weber had the worst game of his career.
Wasn't it like 7-0?
I don't remember if it was that much. But remember Shea, like, hit, you know, I mean, he was terrible. He was just awful in that game. And that was his last game.
And the Poole was like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Man.
And then the next year, beat. Sweep Chicago, beat St. Louis in 6, and then Anaheim in 6, and then lose in 6 to Pittsburgh.
That's right. It's fun. That was
and then
nice
the next year, ago. Beat Colorado in 6, lose to Winnipeg in 7.
And then 19, what happened? Finish it off.
Lost to Dallas in 6.
That's right. And then COVID hit, and I don't remember after
and then,
that.
Peter LaViolette said, I'm going through Big D, and I don't mean Dallas.
Sure did. And then P.K. Subban's like, let me get a picture with Dak Prescott. Well, he just got eliminated. Who cares?
You know, I think I've told this story. I witnessed that because I was walking through downstairs to go to the Preds locker room, and you pass the Stars locker room, and so Dak and Zeke were standing right there. Which I will admit, as the Cowboys fan, I was kind of like, oh, good, this is kind of cool. And they like see me and they're like, hey, what's up, man? I was like, hey, what's up? You know, like, all right, cool. They acknowledge me. They know I exist. This is great. And then PK comes walking up, and yeah, that's when they did all that.
It's a moment in time right there. Yeah. There's a lot of things happen right after that.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, like, here's the thing, people make such a big deal about stuff like that. The game's over. The series is over. You're an athlete. They're an athlete. They recognize you. You recognize them. If they want to get a picture together, like, maybe wait to post it, but I don't care. It doesn't bug me. Okay. I know it bugs a lot of people.
Right. It does.
But, like, my thing is, like, just does it really change anything?
My thing is, do you get mad anymore that you lose? Right, I mean, I don't. Was he mad? Was PK Subban mad?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he was. But I mean,
it's a bad look.
What are you
like swapping jerseys after a game?
I know.
I be mad you lost.
I guess that you're right. You're not. I'm not. You're not wrong.
Right.
That like you should have guys that hate losing. Like I almost. We've talked about this before. I would almost rather have a guy on my team that hates losing more than he loves
winning.
Sure. 100%. Like, you know, like because in turn, that guy loves to win.
Yeah, I get all that.
He hates to lose. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. When is a good time? I mean, like, you know, the jersey swap thing, I agree. Like, I think it's cool that the guys do that. But, like, they're on the field after you just beat the you-know-what out of each other. Yeah. I mean, is that really appropriate or – Do people really care?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a right or wrong answer, right? I mean, it's just your opinion on what it is. I'm not a fan of it. Do it in the tunnel after the game. Shake hands, all that other good stuff. But I don't know. I've never been a fan of, like, you just got beat 49-6, and then look at what's happening. Prime example, was it this Cardinals receiver? Not to that extreme, but they're going Arizona Cardinals guy catches a pass. I just saw it last night. And he gets up, he does a spin on the ball, and they're going trying to win the game. So the ball's spinning, and he's celebrating. and then the ref's trying to get the ball to get the center to reset, and then he realizes what he's done because he's dumb, and then all this time goes off the clock, and they lose the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, that's just a bonehead move.
I'm just an old man. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
I think sometimes the old man that yells at Cloud is right, and it's like, well, you know, you should think, like, don't drop the ball at the one.
Yeah.
Like, don't, like, to me, common sense would say you secure that ball and hold it, and you cross the line. Like, you wait till you're deep in the end zone. You know that the color is going to change, and you look down, and if you see red or black or blue or white or green or whatever, you're good. Drop the ball. But if you see grass and white lines, you should probably not drop the ball.
Well, like Tim Hasselbeck said, you're too busy worried about your celebration.
Yeah.
What's the maddest you've ever been at a team losing? The absolute maddest you've ever been.
I'll tell that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Well done, Dr. Crane. That's a classic right there, JoJo.
He is massively underrated in 90s country, Mark Chestnut. Massively underrated.
I agree. By the way, we had our holiday party last night at JBJ's. Dr. Crane was the star of the show and had a good time. But appreciate JBJ's for having us. And obviously this year, the last 2 years being there for our holiday party and the pregame show where you are going to be Sunday. So
that's right.
Just love working with them and everybody there. And it was a great time last night. So it's a good time.
Good times, man.
Mattis, I have been at a sporting event. Is that what?
Yeah, that your team is lost.
Yep. So, like, for one of my teams, I was furious. Man, it's probably been like 6 years ago. The Braves lost. I want to say to the Cardinals in the wild card round, and it was just stupid, and like just played like absolute ass. And lost the game, and I was sitting at a Buffalo Wild Wings, and I thought, okay, here we go. They're going to win this game, move to the divisional round, all this stuff. And I was like, I hate this stupid wild card crap. Like, go back to the old way. I mean, I was pissed. So there's that. But I think the Mattis, I was in high school. I was a sophomore in high school, and I became the manager of the basketball team. We're in the district tournament that we were actually hosting at FRA, and it was weird because, you know, in those tournaments, like, sometimes you're the road team, sometimes you're the visiting team, so we were on the different bench, and everything was like thrown off and stuff. And you know how this goes sometimes. You have in high school, you football or basketball or whatever, you have the ref that wants to be the show.
Yeah.
So
always
there was a ref that just thought it was all about him. And we were playing CPA, and there was no shot clock. So the thing that used to infuriate me about some of those CPA teams is they just hold the ball for a quarter. I mean, they would literally just hold it. And so it was a low scoring game. And so it's one of those situations. Like, at one point our player sat down. Like, that's how this was. Like, they stood there and literally held the ball. It's the worst thing ever. So and we're playing, we may have been playing Ezel, I don't remember, but the ref just kept making terrible calls, nothing going our way, and coach is getting furious and just like is giving it to, you know, finally just gives it to him. So he gets teed up. And like, as soon as the ref does the tee to our coach just crosses his arms and just laughs. and just, you know, is like, okay, whatever. So we end up losing the game, and see them again in the region and win and all that stuff. But I was so mad because, like, I love our coach, Coach Taggett. He is a huge reason of why I am who I am. And so I was, like, ready to go. Here I am, 16 years old, ready to go fight a ref for teeing up my coach.
Good Lord.
Like, I was pissed. And so he like pulls me aside and he's like, Chase, sometimes I want that to happen. Like, it's okay because we weren't playing well.
What was the coach's name again?
Coach Tackett.
Coach Glenn Tackett.
And he was just laughing. He was like, sometimes it's okay. But it used to crack me up with some of the – like, you remember John Pierce, right, that played at Lipscomb?
Oh, yeah.
Who actually, I believe, still holds the record for the most points in college basketball in any division. So he was our assistant coach, and we were playing – I want to say we were at Station Camp High School. And we were playing there, and he, like, looked at – he kind of did, like, shrug to the ref, like, hey, what was that? And he got teed up.
Can't do that stuff, man.
Like, it was, yeah. So, I mean, that was one of them.
I lost a fantasy football game in 2000. Rod Smith scored a two-point conversion. I lost by 1 point. I was working at Channel 2 at the time. I actually got myself so angry and so mad that I almost went to the ER that night because I'd lost a fantasy football game. That drove me. I was so mad. And then 1990, I'm not the biggest Tennessee Vol fan, but I like it when they beat Alabama. I always like when they beat Alabama. And in 1990, Tennessee was ranked third, and they lost to Alabama in Knoxville 9-6. And it was 6-6. Tennessee goes to win the game. Their field goal gets blocked. They run it back. Then Alabama kicks a field goal. Philip Doyle kicks a 47-yard field goal, which would have been good. I'm telling you. Would have been good from 75 yards.
But you don't care because you hate kickers.
I hate kickers, right? Ugh. And Tennessee loses that game 9-6. I mean, Neyland Stadium was irate. And these Alabama fans were so obnoxious. And good, you won the game. And they were so obnoxious after the game that I was like, here we go. We're going to brawl outside Neyland Stadium. And we didn't. And, again, I'm not the biggest Tennessee fan, but I like when they beat Alabama. And it didn't happen. And then Philip Doyle won. And then Johnny Majors made Tennessee go practice after that game because they lost it. That was a
crushing
loss for the Vols in 1990. And just like a few weeks earlier, they'd beaten Florida on that Saturday night game. Vol fans, you remember, Dale Carter ran the second half kickoff back. And he beat Florida. Was it 45-3, I think it was? And so the different emotions happening. But losing that foot, that's why I've always hated Rod Smith. And I hate the Broncos because that two-point conversion. And then Philip Doyle, who I knew years later. And I was like, man, he's like, yeah, it was a big win for us. I'm like, hell yeah, it was. Huge win for you.
Well, I mean, look, I just think that's what sports does. It'll just pull the emotion out of you.
Well, the reason I popped up because Memphis is playing now. Vol fans, you remember when Memphis beat you on 96 at the Liberty Bowl? There were a lot of irate thought. That's the $15 million loss because that game knocked them out of a major bowl, and Memphis ended up going.
Well, didn't they only have one loss that year, and it was to Florida?
Yeah, it was, yep. And then that made it number two, and they got knocked out of the big bowls. Memphis did that too.
Because that was Peyton's last year.
Junior year. Yep.
Yeah.
And they lost in the Liberty Bowl. And then so you roll and you lose. So a lot of Tennessee fans. Tennessee Titans fans and Vol fans have had a lot to be angry about over the last 30 years.
Mark on our text line says, the maddest I've been after a game, Memphis losing to Kansas in the national championship. All we had to do is hit free throws. Sat in my recliner for 3 hours after the game just staring at the TV. But turns out the Final Four got stripped from Memphis anyway. Thanks, Coach Cal.
Right. I was going to ask you. I said, yeah, how's that look in the record books? Yeah, that's all gone, man. That was a great game, too.
Here's the thing. I was pulling for Memphis because they're the home state team, but I really didn't care at the end of the day. But going back to Coach Tackett, he was huge about you hit your free throws.
Yeah.
They're called free throws. You hit your free throws. And he made them practice free throws. That's how we ended up every practice. Every practice, everybody had to go shoot free throws.
Could you hit a free throw right now?
Probably not. I mean, I
love free throws.
So another quick funny story. So senior year, we had lost a game. I forgot who it was because we couldn't hit free throws. We were like, I mean, below 50% from the line. He was furious. He was absolutely furious. Like the bus ride home was usually just me and him because the guys would ride back with their parents. And, I mean, he was just like, I can't believe we couldn't hit those. I mean, he was
just you and him furious. On the bus?
Yeah. So He goes, I'm going to run. He goes, be ready. We're going to have a long practice tomorrow. And he used to say that a lot, and I'd be like, okay, whatever. And then, it, you know.
Right.
They practiced for two and a half, almost 3 hours.
Good. Good.
I had made plans because this was like a Friday, I think, Thursday or a Friday. And so I had somebody waiting on me, and I was like, Coach, can we wrap this up? And he was not having it. He was in a terrible mood. And so at the end, so he goes, so like halfway through,
okay,
he goes, here's the deal. Everybody lines up and go, and we're going to shoot free throws. And we got to go through the line twice. Each time there's a miss, we start it all over again. So it's like you got to go through the line twice to hit this because they couldn't hit free throws.
You get one shot.
You get one shot the first time through, but then you got to go the second time through because okay. It's like you're hitting two free throws
good.
At the line.
I like
so,
this.
Of course, somebody misses and they got to start all over again. Well, I'm down at the other end, just bored. So I'm shooting. I'm just standing there shooting free throws. Well, I get into a rhythm and I hit like probably 8 of 12. You know, just standing there and he's watching me do this. So finally, they've been doing this for an hour, like going back through to do this. And he goes, he blows the whistle and he says, all right, I'm going to give you guys a choice. We can keep doing this until y'all hit this. And they're exhausted. Like they can't hold their, they're absolutely exhausted. And he says, we can keep doing this or seniors, you make the decision. Chase comes up here and if he hits two, we're done. If you can put it all on Chase. But if he misses, then he was going to make him run or something. I forgot what it was.
Okay.
So it was like that was the choice. And they're like, Chase, get over here.
And what happened?
Banged him. Banged them both.
So these long rides back with the coach on the bus driver and you two?
No, he was driving.
The bus?
Yeah.
You ever say, hey, Chase, you like movies about gladiators?
No, but we would talk. I mean, we were close. He looked out for me.
Have you ever been to a Turkish prison?
it was not
that. What's he doing now? Don't tell me he's passed away.
No, he's playing golf.
Retired?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Being grandpa. I'd still talk to him every now and then. So.
Is he bald?
Not really.
I would think coaching high school basketball.
A little bit. I think it thinned him out.
I could not imagine. That would be
great man, though.
Good.
Great man, for sure. All right, story time with Chase is over. We'll come back with hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.